straight out of the T.O. to the K.Y. to the O for show. It is we, the homies that be known as MLS, consisting of
Mago,
Lay, and Steez with another scrumptious video of the Mega Lay Show.
Scrumptious.
Oh, oh, that's a callback. That's
yes,
a callback.
Yes, y'all. We are blessed with yet another in-house guest, the talented Z Koketsuji.
Thank you for having me.
Soul claps. Soul claps. Soul claps.
Fingers.
To be here.
Snap.
Yo, Z, thank you for rocking with us. Thank you really for rocking through all the previous TDs. That means touchdown, nigga. Fuck the Patriots. Super Bowl never happened. Run that shit. I want my ring, nigga. ATL is a supreme sports city. I'm sorry.
How we do?
We also have we also got our engineer here with us today. The super talented D Beats. We're just going to start calling you the engineer as it stands. You know what I mean? But yeah, we're in Studio Noah and D is running the engineering for us tonight. So
thank
we want to thank him for that.
Thank you.
Get started. We've got a very special episode prepared for you. All of our episodes are super special, but with two guests today, it's going down.
Hey,
today we are we're talking about beef.
Hey,
we're talking about beef for a topic here. We have an interview for you a little bit later on. Some
Kobe?
Hot takes.
Kobe,
all beef.
Kobe beef. All USDA beef. Choice. Mm. Yeah. So Australian.
Let's
beef.
See. Can we get some sponsors?
Yo, shout out to Elmo's World. Shout out to Hey Arnold. Shout out to just straight up Arnold. Before he was an aardvark. I'm talking anteater status. Shout out to Chance the Rapper. Shout out to Reading Rainbow, LeVar Burton. But I don't want to be on the Enterprise. I want to jump over into a book. Holler at my nigga Wishbone. Yo, what's good with Thomas the Train Engine? Yo, Lamb Chop, the Magic School Bus.
You're butchering the names right now.
I find.
What, did I fuck that up?
I think it's a tank.
It's Arthur the Aardvark, right?
What
you
did
said,
I say?
You said Arnold the Aardvark.
Yeah.
And
oh,
you said Thomas the Train Engine. It's Thomas the Tank Engine.
I'm pretty sure you said Clifford.
I'm on my PBS Kids shit right now. I remember all this. I grew up with that
Magic School Bus.
Oh, I had to just watch whatever bootleg tapes my dad brought home. I didn't know.
Thomas the Train Engine, okay.
Yo, y'all didn't
Baby
watch
Einstein.
Yeah, y'all didn't watch Goat Chop.
Maybe fine.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Goat Chop.
Oh, Goat Chop.
Elmo from Sesame Avenue. Am I tripping?
Word.
Did I fuck that up?
No.
Gotta give some love to Barney too.
Sesame Dory.
Right.
But yeah. So let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and talk about some of the new things happening.
Oh, it's hot
right
take.
Now.
We have a hot take.
Some of the new things happening right now. So around the time that we're recording this podcast, March 11th, we just celebrated. Well, I guess maybe not celebrated, but we celebrate the life
recognize.
Of Biggie. It's 28th anniversary of his unfortunate passing due to gun violence. And let's go ahead and talk about Biggie for a second, guys.
Word.
Good cat, real fat.
Imagine. Take a moment right now to imagine Biggie in skinny jeans. I know.
Yo, this
you're wrong for that.
That's how it's gotta be. No.
Yo, this is foul.
It's gotta be.
This
man.
Is he got straight to it. Like,
is that what's happening these days?
You have the visual.
Get foul
you have
real
the visual.
Quick.
Yeah. You have the visual. Now, Brand I mean, hair. imagine Biggie's legacy.
No, but for real, like Pac would be like 40 something years old right now. Biggie would be around the same age.
Yeah.
Yo, man, them brothers died young, man.
Super young. I mean, what was it, like 26, 25, something like that? For Tupac, was like 26 years old.
I'm not sure how old Biggie was.
Yeah,
he was 25.
He's a little younger, right?
Yeah.
Z, how old were you when they passed away around that era?
I was fucking 3 years old when Tupac passed away. Biggie was, what, 97?
Yeah.
So, four when Biggie passed away.
I remember where I was when
that
thing happened.
Because you said that you didn't listen to hip-hop until later.
Yeah, I mentioned before that I grew up in a really strict Christian household, so my parents didn't really let me listen to anything other than praise and worship music or gospel music.
Did you remember that news though of Biggie and Tupac?
Nah, no,
I
didn't.
Man,
I didn't. That was I didn't, you know, learn about that until later. And I also mentioned before that I really didn't didn't get into Biggie's Discog until like junior high school or high school.
I knew you went back to listen to it. Though.
Oh yeah, you gotta do your homework. Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, of course, you probably see like this really worn out discussion about mumble rappers and young rappers not really identifying with the hip hop culture and yada yada yada. But yeah, I actually went back. I listened to Eric B and Rakim. I listened to all the old school shit when I was, you know, when I think it's because I didn't have access to a lot of that shit when I was really young. So it was like once I had access to the internet and everything, I kind of just, was really curious and I wanted to understand how everything evolved. And especially for, you know, Tupac Shakur is, you know, he's one of my biggest influences in life, not just, you know, not just music. And, you know, people like Rakim and all these dudes are the, you know, Public Enemy. Yeah, exactly. They influence him, right? And he's referencing these artists. So, of course, like, I wanted to understand that and get a feel for
that. I think those type of artists, you had to be a student of the craft. You needed to know about all of your predecessors, and you were a fan of hip-hop before you started making your own hip-hop. Whereas now, the entry level is so much different. You don't need to go back and listen to it. So when you hear an artist like what's his face? Lil Yachty. When you hear him say that he thinks Biggie's overrated, what that shows is kind of a fundamental, like a callous disregard for looking at the forefathers.
Well, the way he said it was that there's no hip-hop university. Like, the way you get to hip-hop, there's no, like, guideline, which there should be. You know, there should be. You should know these people. But when he found out he got a lot of flack from that, he went back to study and realized, you know, admitted that he is wrong and he did his homework.
He's also 19 years old, so he wasn't even born by... Well, 20 years old, so he wasn't even born when they were around. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, but it creates awareness, though. Yeah. It creates awareness for
definitely
everyone.
Definitely should. I mean, Joey Badass was just... And this is kind of another hot take. Joey Badass was just quoted saying that he was better than Tupac.
I mean, that's technically true.
In terms of technical ability.
He might be better.
But that's not everything. You know what I mean?
And I think that's the point people need to remember. I know niggas who are technically better at rapping than Tupac.
I know battle rappers who make shit, you know, shit music, but they're better rappers than...
Cannabis would be like the best MC ever if it was all about technical.
Like, what about delivery, though? You think he's better at delivery than Tupac is?
You know,
no. I think Tupac's, like, arguably... one of the greatest
probably even the best
because of his passion.
That's a given. His passion comes through
in
the music.
You gotta look at it like you're looking at facets of why you're better. So some people, like, they blow up about it you know, too much.
But one thing, definitely keep on speaking directly into the mic because it comes out a little bit. But one thing that I take away from all of this conversation is that for me as a hip hop head and hip hop culture meaning something, it's tremendous value to me. Hip hop culture, not as just a music or something you listen to, but it helps shape people and it changes culture. And hip hop is one of the most powerful forces ever seen on the planet. It's like, you know, I mean, you got religion, you got a bunch of things, but in the printing press, but hip hop is definitely a transformative thing that's global. It touches so many things. And for me, because it's that important, when I find somebody that doesn't respect the forefathers and the pioneers who shaped the culture and created styles, when you have somebody that has that callous disregard for the culture, I kind of got to give them the gas face and say, like, you know what? I don't respect you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, word. I mean, that's the word on that takeaway. And that's why, respect due for you for going back and listening to it, even though you weren't allowed to do so. I mean, who do you know that listens to Rakim that is not trying to study hip hop? Most cats don't recognize that. So, word.
I was just going to say, I think that's like a really fair point. And I feel like people, like artists, like the ones you mentioned, like maybe they take that as, you know, they feel like people like you are trying to put them in a quote unquote box or whatever, right? But I think also some of them don't even consider themselves rappers or hip hop artists, even though they're using the medium and they're using the culture from hip hop to
It's like more like a pop approach. Like, this is just music.
I just feel like, you know, it's all subjective at the end of the day, but if you're gonna you know, profit from the culture and be involved in the culture, I don't understand this, like, trying to have this, you know, elitist attitude as if I, you know, I'm better than this. Or
anyways, we got to wrap this up because we're a bit pressed for time.
I feel that, but we should still let the conversation roll. I mean, it's gonna end, but okay. All right, let's move on then.
My bad, my bad. I'm just, I gotta mediate today. You
Stormy,
know?
You Stormy.
Stormy, Stormy, Windy, Rainy. Windy. My man, Bones, thank you, Z, for coming out. We're really happy to have you.
Thank you. Really. Yeah, I'm happy
so
to be here.
So we got some.
Yo, so who's running their weather report first?
I'll bust mine first.
Bow.
So my choice is Quelle Chris. I think he's from Chicago. His album came out last month, and it's called Being You Is Great. I Wish I Could Be You More Often. I really like this album. I think it touches on so many different expressions of rap. There's everybody on it from Homeboy Sandman is on it, Elzai. It's got production by Mind Design. It's got production by a lot of cats and a few other cats who aren't as known. But I like the really idiosyncratic approach that he takes to lyricism. Some of it seems rather mundane. A lot of it is like a dark comedy. And my track that I chose is called Calm Before. And it's dope. So definitely go back and check that out. Let's play 10, 15, 20 seconds of the shit.
Lord knows. Things
I really wanted to play another part of the track, but it's dope. It's a dope album. I think Dallinger, you listen to it. You listen to it as well. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it's probably one of the better things I've heard this year, I think.
Yeah, I've been going back to it quite a bit. I've been trying to keep up with a lot of new hip hop, and this album's got something for everybody, man. It's like it's got Jean Grey on it, spitting bars. I think she has like a 3-minute verse. I don't even know how many bars, but she's always fire. And it's kind of like a rejoinder to mumble rap, like very simple but deliberate and focused. I really like the jams on this shit, and this is kind of my first introduction to him. I didn't listen to his other shit, so yeah, peep that out.
Nice.
You ready for your joint, Late?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yo, my joint today is a new song from Mr. Gangster Gibbs.
Oh, you know Steve Brule? Have you heard of?
Yo, my nigga, I downed those two beers way too quick. They don't let you drink in the studio. Shout out to Freddie Gibbs, killing it once again.
He's got a new album coming out. Is this from his new album?
I'm not sure. This is just, I guess, a single. It's called Crushed Glass.
Mob Deep uses same sample.
Shout out to Freddie similar, Gibbs. Yeah. Yo, I got into Freddie Gibbs. Well, a while back, but he has one of my favorite, one of those mixtapes, is it an album kind of projects? It was called BFK, Baby Face Killer. That was my
dopest shit. I still listen to that to this day.
Yeah, that shit's amazing, man. Yeah. And actually, I didn't talk about him on our, you know, zero episode, but he probably should have been all over that. Well, I didn't because he came out in 2015. Shadow of a Doubt. That shit is amazing, man. He really killed that shit.
Well, Cocaine Pinata, bro.
Yeah. Yo, that's one of the most slept on. He just came out with a new album, period.
I don't fuck with Cocaine Pinata as much, but I know it's dope. It's just, it doesn't hit me as much as the two I just mentioned.
Those Mad Lib beats hit me. I like all that shit.
But I mean, he's a dope spitter. Actually, he's probably like the closest to Tupac that I imagine in the game right now.
Real too. I would disagree with that. But
word. Word. I'll take that.
He has a lot of fans in Russia. They all be saying that.
I like his authenticity, man. And I like how he went at T.I. too.
Number 45. But so this track, he kind of touches on his allegations that he got caught up against him last year, towards the end of last year.
Rape allegations.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy.
Well, I don't want to put anything out there because he's saying it didn't happen.
No, they
I'm
proved
taking
it,
him
they,
at his word.
He was proven in the court of law that.
Oh, so
yeah.
The case
good,
already got dismissed.
Nah, yeah, that's
they
over.
Discredited
good,
the,
yeah.
the girl or whatever.
All right, good. Because yo, man, that shit kind of hurt me, man. Because like I was just saying, I really like Freddie as an artist, and you know I haven't listened to R. Kelly or Chris Brown in a long time, so. I really need my niggas to, you know, stay free.
I still listen to R. Kelly. I ain't gonna front, but it's all good.
You still making music?
Nah, I listen to his old shit.
Word.
But yeah, Freddie Gibbs, Crushed Glass. This shit is hard as fuck. Hopefully he drops an album and kills everybody in the game this year.
Nice. Yo, is this the music video with him in the desert?
Yep. This shit popped up on my Google alert, so I've only heard the track.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, Steve, did you see the video for this?
Yep.
I think they had it in the a music video for it where he's like in the desert or something like that.
I was listening to some records off of BFK today, just coincidentally.
Oh, nice. Word.
Yeah, just for the record.
Which one?
What record?
Yeah, yeah.
Like off of BFK?
Yeah.
I don't fucking remember. I had this shit on shuffle.
Yo, man, shout out to DJ Drama, man. That shit goes so hard.
BFK and ESGN, like, and Cocaine Pinata. I got all that shit on
word. My ESGN phone. Is cool, too. Yeah, man. Word. I fucks with all that shit. Shout out to Gangsta Gibbs.
Word.
Yo, Steez, you're up next.
All right, so I chose The Internet, Special Affair. I just like that bass line.
Bass line is dope.
That's all
I've heard.
That's all it is. It makes me feel like I want to get back on the bass, jam some shit. And then I just found out about the lead singer right here, this girl right here, Sydney Bennett. And she just released a solo album.
Yeah,
AKA so Sid the Kid.
Sid the Kid, but now she goes as Sid because she's just keeping it tight, keeping it maturing, you know, doing her thing. So I like it. I went back to The Internet's, you know, album, and then that I'm about to go to the next album. And I'm feeling it right now.
Let that run for a second. If you don't have much to say about it, I like it. I want to hear it.
Her solo's dropping soon, right?
It dropped already.
I thought, yeah, I was going to say it. I thought
it
out.
Seems like everything she's making or she's a part of is gradually getting better. So she's about to release some more stuff.
That whole I don't know, ensemble is just quality musicians and quality music makers, man.
Yo, yeah. And it's crazy with Sid in particular because she was real kind of agoraphobic when she first started. Like, she wouldn't perform live with Wolfgang. And then when she did, you know, as a DJ, she would, like, perform with her back to the crowd. And, you know, she slowly was able to, you know, turn around and then come out.
Crowd.
And, yeah, and now
so
she's, like, got her own solar shit.
She's still, like, about to blossom and create some
word.
Great stuff when word. She matures. Because she is, like, your age, I believe. She's 24.
Word?
Yeah. So, like, she still has a lot of years to develop.
Word.
I actually met the internet last year, the band. Not Sid, but everybody else.
Oh, wow.
And one of the members randomly followed me on Tumblr, like,
hey,
after
nice.
I dropped my first
like a balloon with the green.
Nah,
those are the people you need to chill with, dog. Hook it up, baby.
There's one dude in that group named like Max Martian or something like that.
Yo,
I just think that's a dope name, man.
Is he the singer?
Nah, he's like he's in Wolfgang too, but it's like a producer, instrumentalist type of dude.
Good shit. Yeah, so that's my jam. Check
dope,
it out.
Man.
It's good stuff. And Z, you got something?
Real.
Before
Guadalupe Fiasco. Yeah, this album changed my life, changed a lot of people's lives.
True, real talk, real talk.
I think people in your generation really identify with this album.
2006, bro. Yeah. 2006 was the year.
What happened in 2006?
In my mind, this might have been 2005, 2006, but yeah.
Yeah, Lupe's 2005.
Word. Yeah, that year was just like for not just music but fashion, like culture, everything. It was a lot going on.
Graduation came out that year?
Yeah, I was gonna say that's kind of where not that year, but there was kind of a split where it's like Kanye shaped a part of the mainstream market that was allowed to not be like gangster masculine.
Right.
And then 50 Cent took the other direction. And Lupe is very much of that branch that went off into
to
the Kanye kind of.
That's the perfect example because that built into that like battle when Graduation did come out in like 2007
2007
and it matched up against The Massacre and then Graduation won.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why everybody sounds like Drake today.
Yeah, and I mean that's where that whole Lupe Lane comes from, like, because there was a lot of cats that were doing Lupe style hip hop that wasn't, you know,
definitely, man.
You were definitely listening to a lot of stuff. When I first heard Kick Push, I was like, I listened to weird shit that white kids would like already. I listened to a lot of white kids.
Yeah, Lupe definitely was like, he wore that backpack pretty tight as a symbol. But like, there were definitely more backpack rappers than Lupe out. Absolutely.
Is this your favorite joint off the album? Or just the one you were pumping today?
No, I was just in my shuffle and it came on and I was like, wow, it just took me back. I wasn't trying to overthink, you know, what record to choose, so, you know, I just went with this.
Is this your favorite Lupe album?
Yeah, easily.
You like this shit better than Lasers?
Oh, man. Yeah.
That was kind of disappointing, right?
Any Lupe album outside of Food and Liquor and The Cool or even Tetsuo
and Youth. Tetsuo and Youth was
kind of gets like the man reaction.
Tetsuo and Youth was phenomenal. I didn't like the GarageBand sample, but yeah. But that aside, like, you know, phenomenal.
His new joint isn't bad. The beats are pretty solid.
I hate the beats. I hate the production.
Yeah, I don't like the production. I don't like really him on weird. It. But he's spitting. And the beats are not bad. They just don't go together very well. And I don't think the album's very cohesive. Yeah. He's got tracks on there with, like, Big Crit and what's his face?
Shouts out Big Crit.
Rick Ross. And it sounds like they were writing different tracks. It's just, there's not cohesive.
You got Ty Dolla on the single, right?
Yeah, it's not my jam. It's not my jam.
I fucks with his singles.
Cool. All right, so we're gonna move along to the show topic.
Okay. Let's take a stop and then go right back into it.
Okay.
This is Masterclass with Sho Kosugi. His son, Ken Kosugi.
All right, so we're back in the mix. Our show topic is beef and how it has changed from now to before. Are you saying that beef is fake now?
Nah.
I think the way they throw it out, is it like a marketing scheme? Is it a publicity stunt?
I mean,
is it to a degree the way it was before? Is it real? Is Soulja Boy just fucking running around with his head shut up just to be relevant?
I mean,
or is he really trying to fight someone?
The beef now is as real as it's ever been in terms of the egos behind the confrontations, I think. But the dynamic has changed a few times in history.
Is someone gonna get shot the way people got shot back in the day?
I don't think that.
Maybe by an ancillary member of the crew or something.
Yeah,
some
it depends on who it is now. But one of the, well, like, currently, you know, current events, we've got Remy Ma, who's beefing with Nicki Minaj, and you know,
is it real though?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Is someone gonna slap someone up? Like, is someone gonna really, like, slap a bitch up?
I mean, what's real? What's real? What's real?
Like, do they hate each other, or like, are they beefing to a point where they're gonna, like, hurt each other?
What they're saying is honest. I think their feelings about each other. I'm not talking about, like, shooting people or turning into violence like it did in the 90s. I think there's been a change in that. Like, you know, when Wale has something to say about J. Cole, these are two cats who are not gangsters. We don't have to worry about them shooting each other. The way that they handle that is kind of the way it went down with Nicki Minaj and Remy Ma. Like, Nicki Minaj had a lot of shit said about her, real shit on that diss track, and she just rebutted. And, you know, everything they're saying is interesting. But what I'd like to talk about is how rap beef has kind of changed and how public perception kind of shapes the way that people approach rap beef. People were like, "Yo, Nicki Minaj needs to respond right now." When the Takeover came out, Nas didn't release Ether for months. Mm. You know what I mean? But now there's like a turnaround where it's like, yo,
people are talking. Yeah. There's more voices.
People
and there's
like,
more like
48 hours. She needs to come out if she's ducking or she's scared. And it was like 7 days.
It's a technology medium now. It's a technology medium now too, man. Back in the day, you made a record.
Yeah.
You put out like a single as a disc.
Yeah.
You,
right.
You had to press that up, and you know you could. You know, put it on a radio station. That's how it happened. But now it's like immediate.
Where plus the media cycle.
Social pressure today.
Not only the media cycle now is like 24-hour media cycle, but also, like you said, pushing out music now. It's not like, you know, you got to book a studio, book the producer, mm-hmm. write the song. Nah, nigga, like, if you don't have your song done in, what did Drake say? Like, waited 3 days? Nigga, where you at? 3 days, and he dropped another diss track, man.
Yeah.
But you got time to go on Twitter, on Instagram, and like post videos of Beyonce or some dumb shit.
What's weird is that like before the main medium was to like write a rap track that was the rebuttal. Now people use social media to lay out the beef more. They type about it. They go and they do interviews.
It's all
about
interconnected.
Look at this Chris Brown, and Chris Brown's not a rapper, but it you know, journalists calling Chris Brown a rapper is like the fifth element of hip hop. It's all wrong, but it's fucking there. Like the way that the Chris Brown Soulja Boy beef played out was not even on tracks. It was on Snapchats, and then it tried to become a marketing they tried to promote it as an actual boxing event. Mm-hmm. And this is the state of
Mike
rap
Tyson
beef.
Was talking about it too.
Yeah, Mike Tyson rapped the verse.
Mike what?
Tyson got a rap verse on that. Talking about the fight. You know, lisp and all. You know
Yo,
what I mean?
Speaking of Mike Tyson, how does he go from second round knockout to talking over a Soulja Boy track?
I'm saying. Beef is just weird. And another component to beef now is that back in the day, right? Even Cannabis and LL, like we were just talking about with second round knockout. You were certain that both of those rappers wrote their rebuttals to each other. Now, this Nicki Minaj verse, who even knows if she wrote it?
Hillary Clinton wrote it.
Probably. Probably. I don't even know. You can't. You cannot trust pen games.
That's the
now.
Word on the street.
That is the reason that the Drake beef happened with Meek Mill. Meek
Bernie
Mill
Sanders,
was like,
2016.
Hey. All day.
Ron Paul, 2008.
Oh,
never.
No.
Oh, Ron Paul, baby.
No, but not to digress. The whole Meek Mill Drake beef was about Drake having tracks that were, you know, written for him. And that used to be a tremendous faux pas.
Yo, like Mega, you're pretty big on authorship.
I am. Well, only in the context, not in the context of it being a good song. Somebody can make a song and it can be written. Beyonce ain't writing her shit, but she makes good R&B pop music. But when it comes to MCs talking about being the best MC, I want that person to be the actual writer. Otherwise, you're disqualified from the conversation.
You know,
don't
best,
compare Drake to fucking Tupac.
The best MC don't talk about it.
The best MC. All MCs that are dope are going to say they're the best MC.
The best MC is Andre 3000.
No.
Does he talk
about
it?
That's a whole other conversation. Andre is
you're right.
He's in the conversation, but
I mean, you're right, Steez. You're definitely right. You're
so
definitely right. Andre
right
3000
there.
Is the best MC.
So
definitely.
He doesn't talk about it.
But
subjective
but,
and not on a topic point.
He doesn't talk
it's
about
not
it.
Even
see?
The conversation.
But
it's
I'm pretty
the humble
sure
perspective.
I'm pretty sure Andre
when
has
talk
talked about
it,
how good he is and how other rappers today aren't as good as he is.
But he also doesn't come for the crown. If you say you're the best MC, that means that you're putting yourself out there and you have to write your own shit.
But and this ties into our topic because Outkast never really got the respect that they, you know, were looking for back in 96, 98 when they were putting out ATLiens, Aquemini. But they had tracks on there where they were like, oh, y'all aren't looking at us. Y'all aren't looking at the South, but we're better than y'all. He wasn't outright coming and saying, oh, yeah, fuck New York, fuck LA. But they were like, yo, like, we're doper. We're dope also, and we're doper than you, without putting it in as many words. But rappers today, like, they don't even say that much. They're just like, yeah, I got swag like that other dude's swag. And then they'll go on Instagram and record like
Kodak
a minute
Black
video.
Said he was the greatest MC and he was better than Lil Wayne.
Just
and he didn't
listen.
Try to battle him. He tried to fight him.
Don't listen
Shout
to Kodak.
Kodak Black.
Don't listen to Kodak Black.
No,
just
but this
don't
is, this
listen
is the,
to
what we're talking
guy.
About
he
is the state of...
Yo, that's a life lesson. Don't listen to Kodak Black.
Okay, so what about this? Like, beef. You know, we talked about beef. And last year, Cudi was like throwing shots at everyone. Yay, Drake. Was all that real? Because like months later,
I
Cudi was on stage.
What you mean by real?
I thought he had a.
Like, I don't understand
did
what
he really
you
mean
by
that there was
a
beef?
Nervous
was
breakdown.
There, yeah, but was there beef between him and Kanye and them?
What I think it's real that he is giving an emotional response and he's being honest. I don't think that like he's being disingenuous, like, here I am, I'm gonna say some shit for publicity. I think he's genuinely feeling a certain kind of way.
Yeah, plus there were no tracks.
If you have a rift or a disagreement between one of your friends or someone you know, do you call that beef?
No.
Right.
I mean,
so
sometimes
I beef with Megan Steez all the time.
It's not the same in the context that, like, the tradition of rap beef being either you're coming for the crown or you have a legitimate problem with somebody, well, and you lay that out through music.
My understanding of beef is like someone's gonna get hurt or someone's gonna get killed. That's my understanding of beef.
Wait, that's like the
you know what I mean?
That's someone's what we're
gonna
talking
get
about.
Their ass. Someone's gonna get their ass beat, right?
That's
so
what
I think,
we're talking
I
about,
think
like
people disagreeing with each other in public and like voicing their opinions through tweets or whatever. I wouldn't call that beef. I think beef is like that's a strong word. That means there's no words to be had.
Well, yeah,
you know
the
what I mean?
Traditional definition of beef, and then like what they're doing nowadays, like some Drake Meek shit or some
beef is a 90s
Nicki
term.
Remy shit.
Yeah,
beef
exactly.
is a term that came out in the 90s. Before it used to be like battling, and then you come, you know, if you have a disagreement with somebody, you
all those
diss them.
DVDs back in the day with 50 Cent on there. Still wearing throwbacks,
yeah,
talking
those,
shit
those,
on the
those
rooftop.
Those beef things, they talk about disagreements
Smack
within
DVD.
Rap, but yeah, you know,
shout out to
they talk. But before
Don DeMarco,
gangster rap, you know, KRS-One wasn't going to try to shoot, you know, Shan. They weren't.
Exactly.
The bridge is over.
Hold
wasn't.
Hold up, though. Hold up, nigga.
Hold up.
KRS-One threw somebody off of a stage.
Nah, that's fighting, but we're not talking about like the end result of Tupac and Biggie, which is what Game talks about when he beats with somebody. He talk about taking it to the level where people could die and people could be hurt.
Well, that's why they're respected the most, because they took it all the way.
I will victim shame Tupac.
No.
I will victim shame Tupac because I think that he digressed when he went gangster.
Like, as highly
if
as
they didn't die, would we hold them to this, you know?
I think they do have a certain level of
we hold them they're deified a bit.
Yeah, because they're martyrs for hip hop.
But Tupac,
but they're also great.
I've heard this theory about Tupac. Like I've heard this theory about Tupac that I kind of don't co-sign, but I see a little bit.
That he played the character Bishop.
He got
for
caught up in his persona, man. And unfortunately, like, Biggie got caught up in that shit also, because Biggie was also doing the same thing.
Biggie was kind of a victim to it, because I don't feel like he ever wanted to take the approach that Tupac did.
I mean,
he seemed kind of remorseful. I legitimately don't think that they tried to set up
nobody made
Biggie tried to set up Tupac.
Nobody made Biggie record Who Shot Ya or Who Come to Cali, unless it was Puffy,
shit. But Who Shot Ya is not talking directly about Tupac.
Somebody tell me. Puffy made that movie, Notorious.
This shit is deeper than y'all think, I swear to God. Like, because honestly, like, Biggie and Tupac were actually like friends, and like Tupac really looked out for Biggie on multiple occasions, that like to the point that, you know, Biggie was sleeping on Tupac's floor.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So the reason why Tupac felt a certain way towards Biggie was because when he got jumped and he did know
who shot.
When he got shot, in Quad Studios and got his shit taken, you know, they were in the building, and they didn't do anything after the fact. They were just standing there kind of looking at him, right? So imagine that you're in your homie's city. It's not your city. You're in your homie's city, and some shit like that happens to you. They're supposed to send out the soldiers. They're supposed to take care of it right away. But they're just kind of standing there, you know, looking like, you know, I don't know what's going on, right?
So definitely,
I think Tupac's like riff with Biggie that came from a real place. You know what I mean? It wasn't like some Twitter drama or whatever. And I do think Biggie didn't want to have his hands dirty or be involved in any of that, but he did respond.
The conditions that all of these all that beef boiled up in, there's a lot of components to it. But really what I was trying to say is that beef has changed. Like it doesn't have to become violent anymore, and it can still be played out on wax, and it's played out in different ways now.
But now, you know, it's not even entertaining. Like, it's just like
a lot of people thought that Sheether was like one of the best diss tracks in history
for less than a week, though.
Yeah, and then she dropped that other one that was weak.
Remy or Nicki?
Yeah,
I don't
Remy
even know.
Two. Remy
I'm not even.
Two, and then Nicki just dropped one on the track with Drake and like
who
Gucci Man or something.
I know nothing about.
See,
any
Drake
of that.
Got lucky because he did that surprise back to back shit. But other than that, I can't think of any notable diss tracks from the past 5-10 years.
Well, Drake.
Outside of Drake, I mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They've played out in different ways. So at the end of the day, like, what should we expect? What should we expect from beef? Do you entertain
Snapchat battles,
do you entertain real rap beef now?
I mean,
well,
I,
a lot of it's publicity.
I used to
it's
fuck with
publicity, you know?
Like they're just trying to Grind Time and KOTD,
yeah.
Smack, URL. Like I was fucking with that pretty heavy.
That's not
that's,
speed.
That's like
battling.
Sport, man.
That's battling.
They dap it up. Yeah. They're yelling at each other.
But that's what I'm saying.
Faces.
That's more entertaining than this, you know.
At least
stuff.
You know they're writing their own lyrics.
We don't really know that either.
Not everybody, but most of them.
And I mean, like, it's and even that's become so commercial that one of the dudes from KLTD, I think the champion, Roan, is writing for, like, a TV show that's going to come out based off of Jamie Corden.
No
Corden's,
do.
Like, but No Can Do is actually super fucking dope. Shout out to No Can Do.
He writes for that TV show.
Nice.
All right, great. So let's move on to the interview segment.
Yeah. Hold on, let's take a break first.
Okay.
We're back.
Yeah,
you
we're
know
back.
What I'm saying? This is Meph right here.
This is Doc right here.
Right about now, we're awaiting one of our fellow artists, Ludacris, Dope MC off the Def Jam label.
Yeah, we got a whack track. We're going to try to get him to spit on it.
Ludacris, you're about to get stung.
Fuzzy Rabbit.
Yeah, Fuzzy Rabbit, the
T-Bear. Because I'm the sensitive dude. The sensitive man, yeah.
It's gonna fit the scene, trust me.
Ooh, I'll be back, I'll hit the bathroom.
Now, we're gonna leave the control room to see what Ludacris really thinks of the trap.
I can't catch the beat like a motherfucker.
You okay?
Even if you did like a different flow, could you fuck? If I can catch the beat, I'll rap over any motherfucker.
He's saying he can't find the beat. Cause there ain't one, silly. We made this thing on the Casio. Oh, shit. He actually gonna try to rhyme to this thing.
Well, I have feeling too damn it. I'm kind of a sensitive guy. Hey, started over. Damn it.
I'm gonna be so famous off this one.
Can it be? Cause I'm feeling such a sensitive. One more time.
All right. Let's see how far we can push this.
In the beginning of this shit,
yeah.
You know how, could you make like a frog sound and shit? Oh, he laughing at this.
Frog sound.
Like a.
Well, you, cause I have feelings too damn it, I'm kind of a sensitive guy. Why? Can it be cause I'm feeling a sensitive high? Give me my glass flask blunts and give me my cloudy day. Give me my crown, give me my hand and get the f*** away.
Hey, yo, you hear me?
Yeah.
Yo, it was, I don't know, it was a little off beat to me and s***.
Alright, cause I think I started on the wrong one.
Yo, welcome back to the podcast, episode 5. We've got a guest with us today, Z Konketsuji.
Yes.
And yo. Konketsuji stands for hafu, right? It's like means like biracial, like half.
So Konketsu is mixed blood. G is child, so it's pretty much child of mixed blood, right? Yeah. My dad is black American. My mom is third generation Ukrainian American.
Oh, shit. Maybe you were Blackanese. I thought maybe you were black and Japanese.
Yeah, a lot of people think that. Okay. But yeah, maybe I'm part Slavic, so maybe far back in my lineage.
So you came to Japan, even though you're half black and half white, and you embraced.
Half Ukrainian.
Yeah. Oh, Ukrainian American. Yeah.
Let's roll back. When did you first come to Japan?
I came to Japan in 2013 to study at Sophia University, Jochi, and I studied there for 1 year, and I left in 2014, and I went back to graduate university, and then for a year I worked for Opening Ceremony, which is like a select shop in Soho, New York City. I'll be on my fashion shit.
Opening Ceremony.
Yeah.
Yo, I think I heard about them dudes. Hayden, isn't he an artist associated with them?
I don't know.
Singer out in Cali, I think.
Maybe he did like a shoot with them or something? Or?
I think he works for them and they supported his video or some shit.
Word. I have no idea, but yeah.
I've heard of Opening Ceremony, I feel like.
Yeah, they're like, they just take him, you know, luxury brands from all around the world. And yeah, it's cool. It was cool, but not really cool, but it was cool.
What made you want to come out to Japan? I'm guessing that you had an interest in Japanese culture before you moved out here, maybe through anime or...
Of course, yeah, just like everybody else from pretty much from my generation. Mm-hmm. I was just...
Tsunami type of cats.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but I was, I was one of the kids that it wasn't a phase or I didn't grow out of it. I was just more curious as I got older and it kind of snowballed. So, by the time I was in junior high school, I was really into Japanese fashion. And it was actually through, Japanese streetwear fashion that I got interested in Japanese hip hop. And more specifically, I mean, this is super obvious to people who know, but A Bathing Ape and Teriyaki Boys, right?
Okay.
They're kind of like, mainstream pop bullshit to Japanese hip hop listeners. But, that was.
I remember Bape was big in the States for a while through some people I knew.
I definitely bumped some Teriyaki Boys.
Yeah, but you had Neptunes and Just Blaze and these dudes like collaborating with,
guys like Pharrell and even Gwen Stefani. We're really big on kind of taking
Gwen Stefani. Yeah, no one.
I'm not saying she's dope or anything. I'm just saying that she was. No, Gwen Stefani's dope.
That was definitely cultural appropriation.
Yeah, that was garbage.
From Japanese culture.
Yeah. But yes,
it was just showing love though. Like she was showing love first and foremost.
I think in general, black people of color are a little bit more sensitive about cultural appropriation.
Yeah, that's like saying Elvis showed hella love to like
Chuck Berry.
So for us, it's really just culture vulture. Well, for some, I don't want to speak for you guys, but to me, it's definitely like
I do feel like how does you could change. Like after that, it was
one of my JOs, we took a field trip down to Harajuku and we were talking about that shit. Because the other dude I work with, he's been out here since like 97. He was like, yo, Harajuku was just like really different, man.
Yeah,
it was like the epicenter of this youth culture, like that image of Japan that we probably all have from pop culture. That was then.
Uniqlo ate that shit up.
Exactly, Uniqlo destroyed that shit. Well, not by itself. Now all those other high fashion brands are down there in Omotesando, and like that culture is gone.
Times are hard, man.
And that leads to like people like basing it off of the image, like Gwen Stefani, even though she's dope, mm-hmm. or Avril Lavigne, who isn't dope.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So Z, of course we did our homework. We listened to your album.
It's
a dope album too. We'll get to that in a couple minutes. But one of the things that I noticed is that you had a video shot by a guy that works with Vice about you and your
experience. Shout out to Ty Demora.
Word. I watched the video. It shows you going through some neighborhoods and you going into some stores. The store owners know you and they talk about you a little bit. What store was that again? And where is that at? And like, how did you meet those cats? And
that's my homie Idiki Rap Lounge. They actually switched to a new location in Shibuya, but for the record, I fucking hate that video. It was like too fucking vague, and I like people like made a bunch of fucking assumptions about me because I didn't really. It wasn't really like it was kind of. He was just like had the camera on me, and I was like talking and shit. So yeah, there was a lot of shit that
it's not a real great representation of
I actually took it down, then my investor was like, oh no, put that shit back up, and I was like, all right.
I didn't see it as anything negative, but that's good. I didn't get a lot of information about you from it.
Most people just commented, oh, you're a weeaboo, and I was like, oh wow, fuck, that sucks.
That's the line that you have to walk as an outsider, weeaboo, if you like otaku type of anime.
What is weeaboo?
A weeaboo is like a person who is not Japanese, it like really likes Japanese culture, and they're the cats that are like, oh, sugoi, and they're
ignorant, like they're halfway with it, you know what I mean? Like, I got a real like deep love and respect and appreciation for Japanese people.
But yo, that's as far as hip hop is concerned, I think that's bullshit, man. How many like Dragon Ball Z memes does Black Twitter use and all this shit? Look at rappers like Denzel Curry. Like, right. That's straight up like the same influences.
It's and there's a way that you can be a part of, enjoy things. But I think the weeaboo stuff is just when a person really tries to project that they're about Japanese culture but are half-assed.
Oh yeah, that's definitely really what a weeaboo is. Yeah. But like I'm saying, projecting that
it's
onto
fucked up
Z.
Yeah, it's fucked
is
up.
Like,
that
yeah,
too.
It's fucked up.
You know,
yeah.
Just because you like an anime shirt or something like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man, in time, and people will see. And I think it's reflected in some ways on the album that
it is.
You know, definitely. I'm about this shit. And I mean, another huge reason why I came to Japan was to build with Japanese creatives and to help. You know, so much of my music and my artistic identity is influenced by Japanese creatives, and more than anything, I really want to work with, you know, Japanese creatives, not just in music but visuals and everything. You know what I mean? And that's something I'm really conscious and conscious about and passionate about. So,
what about your experiences here in Japan? Is a black man walking around? Did you have any conflicts? I think in the album you have a track where you kind of talk. I think it's Journey to the East. Or
Sunnyside to Sendagaya. One of the tracks
you talk about coming here and how your experiences with Japanese people have been mostly positive. Kind of what I got from the track. So is that something you could talk about? Like, did you encounter that kind of gaijin panic and those subtle shots of racism that some people experience out here?
For sure. But I find it's more, you know, coming from America, it's more pure ignorance. Like in the purest form. You know, it's not like hatred, it's like, wow, like they really don't know. Like they really have no idea.
Yeah, once you know,
As black Americans, we look at shit in a certain context, right? And it's like, they're, you know, this is, you know, quote unquote 98%, you know, Japanese.
Yeah,
you know?
Once you get out of America, like, cause I lived in Australia for a little bit, and I remember my manager one time was like, oh yeah, Korn, you would know about that. You're black.
Yeah, microaggressions. That's what I deal with every day, you know what I mean? But
she said that, and she was like, Aboriginal, part Aboriginal.
What?
So it was like, there was no malice behind it. It's just like, I call it like baby racism. It's just like, so they don't know. It's just like, that's just, oh, he's black. And that's how black people are. And that's the same kind of deal I catch from some Japanese people. It's just like, oh, foreign, let's play basketball.
There's a lot of microaggressions out here.
Yeah.
Just straight ignorance.
Like, when you roll into like elementary school, like if you're teaching out here and you roll into elementary school and they have a plate of fried chicken on there and they offer you a piece of the fried chicken, that's just, they're being
they're
super.
They're just trying to embrace your culture and like, you
what
know,
they're the idea, yeah, this idea you know, that
like
they this, have.
They're going to like
no,
this.
No. That fried chicken wasn't for me.
Oh.
Like, they just had fried chicken. Like, they don't know the symbolism behind that.
Of course they don't know that.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
And the watermelon they had. And it was delicious.
Yeah. Get some of that grape Fanta. Word.
But I'm still studying the language. And another thing I want to be is a cultural bridge so I can, you know, explain to Japanese people. I know the complex dynamics of race within America, you know, as best I can, and not, you know, not just through the music but in my real life also, you know, it's something I already do. And so yeah, it doesn't really bug me too much coming from a country where racism has very real physical tangible
life results.
Exactly, and that's what I try to explain to other foreigners who aren't, you know, black Americans or black, you know, people of color, because, you know, it's kind of like they're getting a little taste of what we have to deal with in the U.S. but without the I at least feel safe here, you know what I mean? I feel much safer here.
It's a beautiful country, a beautiful culture and stuff.
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit about your album. It's called the patient discovery.
Yeah.
And I listened to it all the way through twice. And man, it sounds really clean.
Feels like
your lyrics are sharp.
Thank you
so much. You're really passionate on it. Talk about a lot of social topics, a lot of personal topics.
Thank you.
One of them that stood out to me immediately, and probably to the rest of the guys because we're all alcoholics here, is that you don't drink and you don't smoke.
Yeah, I'm straight edge, bro.
Is that a product of your upbringing in the church and with your parents, or just?
I don't know. Maybe subconsciously, but I also have addiction and mental illness in my family, and so and I watched lots of friends completely change when they started doing drugs. And you know, obviously, you know, most people they're okay, but when you know, there's people you're close to that, you know,
go overboard.
Yeah. yeah, that completely, you know, everything changes, you know. It's just not. I also did a lot of sports when I was young too, so yeah, there were so many things that were, you know, suggesting to me, yeah, don't go there. But
so you've never partaken in it ever?
No, I've never done any drugs before. I've never smoked anything before. The only time I drank really was when I first came to Japan, because it was hard for me to build a network and socialize with people outside of that.
That's
and
part of the culture, man.
That's why I've been drinking so much. Yeah. What y'all doing? Let's go drinking.
Yeah, and my Japanese wasn't good enough at the time for me to, you know, try and explain or rationalize why I can't go to izakaya. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we're alcoholics, but it's a definite part of the culture.
I'm literally drunk right now.
Shout out to Thomas the Train Engine. Elmo the Aardvark.
Freddie the Investigator.
Yeah, but like, you know, that the record you were referring to, Triple X Lullaby, like, that's a really divisive song, you know what I mean? Like, some people, they're really like, they feel like I'm attacking them, you know what I mean, when really the song is kind of just trying to make people who are like me feel more comfortable being like that, you know.
That's what I got from it.
I'm glad you did, but you know, some people, they took it.
I like your approach to it too, especially with the chorus. It's kind of like, do it, but you know, I don't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You do it. You do all it. I don't do it.
I don't know another, you know what I mean? Another straight edge person. All of my friends drink and do drugs. Like, that's real. Like, some do harder drugs too. Like, that's just real. So it's not like I have something against people who.
It's actually surprising, man, because I feel like a lot of people your age are just, you know, maybe I'm generalizing, but that seems like y'all's wave, you know. Y'all,
they go out,
pop pills, like that's all in the music right now, like popping pills.
You can probably distinguish different eras of hip hop by the type of drug usage that they
absolutely
talk about,
man.
Lyrics. And in this day and age,
music,
you know,
in general, man. People say that, you know, the 70s sounded the way it did because of cocaine. The 70s,
oh man,
80s
or
the
80s coke, 70s is
LSD.
When I first started making music, people would come up to me all the time and be like, dude, you know, if you fucking smoked weed, man, it would help your art so much. You have no idea, man.
I would tell you that.
Yo, can we, get Soul Class for that accent right there? That was a real good ass Grammy white dude accent.
I'm not saying your music isn't good now, but like, man, like if you smoked, dude,
yo, Kevin,
next level.
Kevin, your mom's looking for you, bro.
Have you ever tried watching MMA on weed, man? Fuck, this guy just kicked him. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, man.
Spin kick. No, but fuck yeah. You know, like,
yo, but
I feel you.
I don't even think it's really that, you know, that's special anymore. There's a lot of big rappers who they're straight edge too, like Vince Staples or Tyler the Creator. Like, these dudes have come out and said,
Gucci Man don't do drugs no more.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
but that's dope. It's kind of like tattoos. Like, everybody was getting mad tattoos.
Uh-huh.
Everybody was getting mad tattoos. Uh-huh. And now it's like, used to try to use tattoos to kind of be an individual. This represents me. This is who I am. But now, if you don't have tattoos, it's like, that person's more of an individual because they're not conforming to that kind of peer pressure approach.
Yeah.
Going back to your album, there's another track on there that I really enjoy. I'm taking all the mic time. Do you guys want to get
all
on
good.
This?
Yo, I wanted to ask a question. Going back to a previous question, do you struggle with that, I want to say, people's image of your identity? Are you like, yo, I've got a dope line, but maybe I've talked about too many anime references in this song, so...
Yo, that's a good-ass question, because...
I heard mad anime. I heard, like, Shenron. I heard Piccolo on there. I heard...
Yeah, that's, like, basic shit. Like, I
you know, like, I get deep.
if I could, like... I don't know. Like, I've contemplated not putting the record you're referencing, "Peace of My Lovers." I contemplated, like, not putting that on the album, like, because that was actually like the first record I made where I felt like it was like a complete record. I've been doing rap shit for 8 years, but it took me a few years to really develop the skills and like the knowledge and understanding to where I could write a song. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that was like the first song where I was like, okay, we're gonna like officially drop this shit. So it was like, I was still finding myself. I still am, you know, finding myself. But But I'm a fucking nerd, bro. Like, I want to reference lots of shit. You know what I mean?
I'm a hella geek, too. I call it geek because I think nerd... And this is how geeky I am. I always drew a distinction between nerd and geek. I always felt like a nerd was somebody that was kind of socially inept and awkward, but like a
usually
geek
people say the reverse.
Geek. Yeah,
they say geek is like.
I got like a geek website and a geek Facebook group that I run. We post comic books. I'm a comic book head though, not so much anime. Okay. I've been reading comic books for my whole
manga
my whole,
too.
Not so much manga. Oh, okay. I mean, like I mostly read. Okay, I mostly like Marvel, read American. DC.
Okay. I fucks with the manga. You know, I fucks with
right
all
now.
The
right
hell,
now,
yeah.
I'm still working my way through Stan Sakai's Usagi Yojimbo, and I'm reading all the volumes of that. But yeah, I've been reading comic books for a long time, right. Well before Marvel movies came out and shit.
Right. But yeah, is that something you think about actively when you're creating? I don't want to.
Very open with it. Like even the video is like anime inspired. Backdrop and
is it always going to be like that?
I regret it. No, I don't.
I feel like I
don't.
I'm not
gonna say I don't regret
like
it, but it's like you grow and you change, and you know what I mean. Like that's not really
you're setting
when
a brand,
I look at,
and you don't want to like it, set that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You just don't want to be pigeonholed into that type of.
Yeah, man. I mean,
are we catching you going into your 808s and heartbreaks phase?
Nah, man. No.
So much of your music is very socially conscious and aware and revolutionary. You're talking about real issues that affect people and your positions on that. And you're very open, not just with your interest in anime, but also as a man, as a black man, as a person, and how these things affect not only you, but your community and the world, man. A lot of that gets through to your music. I would say that is more prevalent and apparent in your music than any of the anime references.
Thank you, man.
First and foremost, I wouldn't put you in like some type of
nerdcore.
I got friends who make nerdcore shit, and you are not there. You're not in that. That's not your lane, in my opinion.
Yeah, no disrespect to people who do that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean
all.
But that's just not me at all. So, yeah. But and also just. What I'm working towards is really creating orchestral hip hop music, and this first project was sample based, but in the future I want to work with Japanese composers, and I already have sort of got the ball rolling on that.
To your point earlier, Dallinger and I on the way up here, we were talking about your music, and you said that it took you a long time to put out and learn how to write tracks, and that's one of the first things that Dallinger told me about your music. He said it sounds like this guy has been working at rapping for a long time. It doesn't sound like this guy started rapping last year and put out an album.
Thank you so
much, man.
It
sounds polished. The sound is clean. The beats are hard.
Thank you, man.
You're mixed very well. Who is Cameron Ross? Because I saw he had a lot of production credit on the album. Most of the tracks were produced by him.
Gary
is that
Coldman.
You? Gary Coldman. Right. Is that you?
No. So Cameron, we were like, we were like best friends in high school. We became friends in high school, and he was the main producer I worked with on this entire album. I actually executive produced it, so all of the samples and the arrangement and the ideas, the feels for the records, those are things that I came up with. But Cam is like super super talented. We actually had like kind of like a falling out. I still love him unconditionally, you know what I mean? But we had a falling out like the other year or so. So I'm not really on speaking terms with him anymore.
That's important.
But I'm hoping, we can
work out. You know.
I hope so.
You guys just work. You sound like you work well together.
Beef.
Beef. Yo, is it real though?
Gary Coleman, by the
tattoo
way.
Tattoo his name on your forehead.
Gary Coleman, by the way, he was the first like producer like he was producing for like Currency and like lots of artists at the time. He was like the first person to actually fuck with me, and he actually produced the first record for the album, which was the first song on the album.
Nice.
Take It Away.
I just saw it on the YouTube video. I was like, damn, I think I've heard of that name before. I could have put my finger on it though.
Yeah.
Probably somewhere.
He's a rapper also, and he was in a group called Fortunate Ones, but he's doing his solo shit now. So shouts out to Gary Coleman.
So we're gonna start wrapping up in a second. What's in store for you now? What's your next move?
A lot of random shit this year. I'm gonna drop like rap records. I'm trying to release more fun shit. And I'm also branching outside of hip hop, showing some of the singing roots that I come from, you know, sharing my voice in that regard. And I'm really gonna drop a lot of projects in the interim and try and my hope is to build up a base and a following so I can drop another album in the Patient Discovery series. That's that's the plan. Cool shit. Yeah.
So for the guys, I want to thank you for coming out onto the show and dealing with all of our technical mishaps and everything like that. We're glad we caught you before you leave Japan. Can you let us know where people can find your music and where they can find you if they want to give you a shout?
Google me, baby. It's super super easy. At and then my name, like no space, no underscore, nothing. ZKONKETSUJI. So my artist name, Z Konketsuji. But if you actually
Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat,
yeah, everywhere.
Black
just
Planet,
Patient Discovery.
Mixi. The Patient Discovery.
Yeah, MySpace.com. Yeah, if you search the Patient Discovery and my artist name in Google, everything comes up. SoundCloud, everything.
Ba-da-da-dang.
Yo, so everybody, thanks for listening to us. This is we're gonna go ahead and end episode 5.
Weather forecast.
Forecast. Oh my gosh. I'm fucking up.
Before we end up. We still got about 10 minutes, B.
Yeah, here
Let's
we go.
Let's use that. Word.
So the weather forecast, Z, is where we talk about all the shows that are coming up in Tokyo that people might want to check out. Beat shows, B-boy, you know, MC shows.
Okay.
And not so much DJ stuff unless we really like the DJ. Shout out to Sarasa.
Shout out to Shiori Bradshaw, J2B, everybody at Tokyo Bay.
Word.
Shout out to Asia.
They got some
shout
shit
out
going
to
on right now. Ultra Gallery. And
yeah. We mixed that shit, unfortunately, man.
Even the GOAT, the hip-hop GOAT, the ladies there, Lex and Kareem.
Are you guys familiar with Tokyo Vitamin?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fuck with them. Tokyo Vitamin. Shout out to Tokyo Vitamin.
UFO hit me up a couple weeks back and asked if I wanted to do a mix with them, but I didn't have the means.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have
fucking fire.
Asia's gonna link us with a couple of them, maybe.
All right, weather forecast. What do we got? What are the dates?
Yo, you're listening to this before March 31st, probably. So March 31st, Club Asia's 21st. That's 21st with the TH anniversary cross hidden champion issue number 44. There are lots of artists on there.
Yo, that's gonna be dope. Like a lot of Japanese rappers and like from that era.
There are hella people on this lineup. I'm not gonna read them all, but yo, one notable name, DJ Mitsuru Beats, is gonna be there. So hella people's gonna be up in there. Pai Pai Min, so holler at them.
It's going down.
Young Mas's second album, So Sophisticated, release at Club Asia. Also, that's April 7th. April 11th, Corin Bailey Ray at Akasaka Blitz. April 15th, Boku no Ririku no Boyomi.
Oh.
Good luck trying to find that. April 15th at Akasaka Blitz. April 19th and the 20th. The queen of hip hop and R&B, Mary J. Blige, is gonna be at Shin Kiba Studio Coast.
Was it
Burger King or KFC?
KFC.
Okay, KFC.
KFC. All right,
we're gonna leave that where it is. April 21st,
the
Udagawa Halftime Show, Volume 5. We got In Shisto, Udagawa, Benkan Bando and Papiko and PBs is gonna be performing there.
Y'all got mad events, yo.
Yo, man.
Too many.
Welcome to
mad
this.
Events on deck.
Welcome to the calendar,
bro.
April 27th, Thundercat.
Thundercat at Liquid Room.
We gotta go to that.
But before that, April 22nd, Tuxedo second album release party. Stone Throw presents at Sound Museum Vision.
Is it Tall Black Guy playing? Was it this earlier? Okay.
That already happened.
Oh.
A wink, wink.
Oh, that's right.
Is that
the
DJ's name?
No,
Tall
it's a
Black
producer.
Guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Tall Black Guy.
Oh,
I'm going to hip you to him. He's dope.
Okay. And yo, there's a couple shit past that. Charisma.com, Jamiroquai, Pitbull, but we're not going to talk about that.
We'll get there next time.
And at the end of April, Paul McCartney's going to be out here. So holler at that nigga. Okay. And don't bring no weed, though. Yo. Y'all know they watching.
Yo, shout out to Rap Beef. Shout out to that picture of T.I.'s head superimposed over that skinny African kid. Shout out to No Vaseline.
Shout out to
Linda Tripp.
Shout out to Eminem. Shout out to The Source. Shout out to Z. 50 Cent. Shout out to
Dallinger.
Where would I be without you? Shout out to Cookie Monster. Word. Shout out to Thomas the Train Engine. Shout out to Albert the Aardvark.
And Oscar.
Clifford the Big Blood Dog. And
Big Blood Dog.
And yo, disciple that.
What up,
man? Dunnums.
Let's go on and be. I love be so much.
Lord have mercy.
Nigga's very handsome.
This is not information.
One love.
Yo, shout out to Dallinger again. Yay. Oh, man.